And it's so funny. He's been in his medical practice 34 years, and I've been in my psychology practice 34 years. And every Christmas, I know that people start calling me panicking about family stuff and about drama, and it pushes all their buttons of their family of origin and the mother that they wish they had that they don't, and how they feel judged and criticized by their family for their sexual orientation or their lack of job, or that they don't have a college degree, or they do have a college degree now. That's the new one. And they're just stressed, and so they want an appointment. And part of me knows that if they can just hang on till January, they're fine again for another year.
Yeah, it magnifies all the problems. It distills the problems ten times, ten x.
And so, like I've always said, unhappiness is a call to consciousness. So if you are stressing about the holidays or your family of origin, that might be a wake-up call for you to work those issues so that you could go into next year being a little more centered or a little calmer or bringing a different you to the table instead of having the same old drama happen all the time. But what we're talking about today is that here we are, Thanksgiving is over, just ended 2 days ago, and we're going into the December and the whole holiday season, and we wanted to give you some tools. Dr. Malarkey is going to give you some tools for the physical aspects of this, and I want to give you some tools for the emotional aspect of it, and maybe between the two, you can have a better December. That's our goal.
Sounds good.
Okay, so let's start with the physical. What do you see people come in complaining of the most during this time?
Okay, so I would say the most common complaint is sleeplessness, either trouble falling asleep or trouble staying asleep or both. So, and that's because, looking forward to, guess what, my hated aunt's going to come and we have to eat dinner with her, or I wish, or, I lost my son, or, dad's dying. There's it's supposed to be a time when family gets together, and families getting together isn't always a sweet thing.
No. In fact, it's often fraught with loss.
Oh.
The first anniversaries of everything after someone has died are horrible. And I often tell people setting a place at the table that first year or doing something special that remembers them. But after my husband, Rich, died, the first anniversaries for everything were very difficult. But I'll tell you, the second and third were hard, too.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, where are they? And there's a hole, and they're missing. So you're supposed to be happy and jolly.
And that's not so easy. And yeah. I think it's with the loss situation, which is probably the worst part of the holidays. I think it's true. I don't know that it's true, but I think it's true that as time goes on, and I'm talking about years, not weeks or months, as time goes on, we just end up remembering more of the good times and not remembering going to see them on hospice.
Right.
Which is not the good times, but I try to reassure them. I guess that's what the main thing I can do is reassure them. I also, the most common somatic representation of stress and anxiety is stomach acid, and these people come in thinking they're having a heart attack, or they can't breathe, or they're coughing, or they're wheezing, and it's because the pH of one stomach acid is coming all the way up in their throat,
right.
And I can help them with that. Of course, that's a physical thing. I have pills for that, and we have other little tricks too that can help them temper that. But
let's speak to that one for just a minute. As a person who tends to put stress right in my esophagus and create stomach acid, what I've learned for myself, and you can speak to this if it's a good idea, is prevention. When I know I'm going into stressful times or something, I will take a stomach acid blocker.
Yes.
Not just do Tums or something like that, but I might do 2 weeks of a Pepcid type of thing.
Oh, yeah.
To shut off that stomach acid and prevent it from happening, not waiting for it to happen.
Because
when it sneaks up on me, I end up with chest pains, and that's
scary. I had to take a stomach acid pill when my 26-year-old patient, wrapped his motorcycle around a tree about 3 months ago.
Yeah, that you in grief.
Oh, my gosh, yeah, and he was such a nice boy. But, so anticipating it, doing something about it. In fact, I'm so old that I remember before there were effective PPI. They're called proton pump inhibitors, the PPI right. drugs. And I remember before that, in fact, we had a busy hospital where I trained, and I think we probably did 2 bleeding ulcer surgeries a week. We did a perforated ulcer every month, and I haven't seen a bleeding ulcer or perforated ulcer for 20 years
because
the drugs are invented and because we actually have something effective to do about it. So, and it's not going to hurt you to take them. You should, if you need to take them for more than a month, you should probably, you know, talk to your doctor about it just to make sure nothing else is cooking. But yeah, prevention helps. In the old days before the PPIs, we would have people put a dictionary back when we had dictionaries and encyclopedias,
yes,
which y'all probably don't remember any of that.
Yeah.
But I do. So we would have put big books under the headpost of your bed because it doesn't help to sleep on 2 pillows. But if you elevate the whole mattress 3 or 4 inches,
right.
that helps mechanically helps acid from coming up in your esophagus.
Right.
Yeah. The esophagus has no natural protection against that acid, and it's, acid is pretty hard on that pipe.
It is, and it's painful.
Yeah.
So looking at physical symptoms as a call to consciousness as well. So if you're getting acid reflux, you're having a lot of stomach upsets, you're maybe going into some of your bowel discomfort things.
Oh, that, irritable bowel times 10.
Exactly.
This time of year.
So doing some prevention going into the holidays is a really good thought, and people tend to not do that. That's, now my clients come in and they start saying, I'm having all these physical symptoms, and I say, have you seen your doctor? And they say, well, I do this every year. And I say, well, what are you doing to prevent that? They usually say, nothing.
No, and well, it's awful, but I think men are the worst at it. And
you think?
So we're thinking, well, cowboy up, go and get tough, get going. And so those patients, the stubborn ones, I see them at a later course in their disease progression, and it's just harder to help them. It's harder to fix them. So planning ahead or recognizing that, hey, guess this is happening to me, even though I'm Clint Eastwood and I'm really tough, it's just better to take a big breath and say, hey, guess what? This is what's going to happen, and I know that, you know, that family member is going to really piss me off because she hates me or he hates me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's better to just, it's better to recognize that. And actually, I tell some people, just say it out loud. In fact, one of the things I ask my folks to do this time of year, which sounds like a lame thing, but you just take a piece of paper and write down the 10 most stressful things in your life. And if you do that today, you'll sit down with your piece of paper and you might get to 4 things. But after a week, you'll have 10 things on that piece of paper.
Oh, yeah.
And you stick it on your fridge, and you open the fridge every day, and every day you're looking at that list. And 2 weeks later, when number 3 comes walking down the hall at work, instead of internalizing your stress, you think, hey, that's number 3. I'm not going to let that get to me today. I'm not going to let him or her put me down, or I'm not going to let it happen.
I like that a lot. What I like people to do when they have that consciousness kind of list is to then on the right side of the page write a couple of coping skills for that.
Yes.
So that they are ready to say, there's Uncle Joe, he's getting drunk again at the Thanksgiving table, and here's what I'm going to do. And it just lets them be a little more ready for the stresses that come up. So let's review that for just a minute. We're going to go to break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to go over some of the physical symptoms and what you can do to help that. We'll be back in a minute.
KCNR is proud to announce that we are now live at 96.5 FM, as well as online, and as always, heard on 1460 AM. Weekday mornings, wake up with the Sue McClain News Hour, followed by Free Fire Radio, your talk radio station at the epicenter of change in downtown Reading. 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, the conscience of the nation. Noon to 3, find your financial peace with Dave Ramsey. 3 to 6, the hard-hitting constitutional expert, Mark Levin. Monday through Thursdays at 6 p.m., local shows feature everything from the paranormal to pop culture to unsung heroes of our area. 7 to 9, Ben Shapiro with an expanded program that brings the issues of the day to your radio. And finish your weekday with the Chris Plant Show, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. KCNR, now on 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, and always online. More than ever, we're your locally owned, community-connected talk radio.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You'll never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
That doesn't happen to men.
It's not just a woman's issue.
It only happened once.
I will intervene.
But he's such a nice guy.
We will look out for each other.
What did she think would happen?
I will step in.
It's just the way people are.
It's on us to change the future for our children.
We will change the culture.
Get involved. One safe place. OSPShasta.org/change the culture.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and I'm here with Dr. Richard Malotki, who is a medical doctor, and we are talking about the physical and emotional challenges of the holidays. So in this section, we want to talk more about these physical symptoms that people have, and we want to begin to get you guys going that this is a call to consciousness. We want you to look at physical symptoms, we want you to look at emotional symptoms. So we're going to do physical in this section of the show. And when we come back, we're going to address some of the emotional symptoms. And we want you to begin to be proactive to dealing with your stress. Okay, so Dr. Malotki, you were talking about the physical symptoms of can't sleep and stomach acid and just stomach and digestive sort of issues. So speak a little more to that of how people can recognize it, and then what we can do for prevention on those things.
Well, okay, so normally the older we get and the more experience we have at life, the more we start to recognize how our body responds to stress. So I think that's a legitimate thing to say. And, you know, so the sleeplessness, you know, I have some of my accountants, they can't sleep from January 15th to April 15th. April 16th, they sleep fine.
Right. They need to be in to see me, but they can't during that time.
Yeah, they don't have time. Yeah, so there's lots of little vignette examples of that. But the stomach acid is one of the – I'll speak to that for a minute because it's one of the trickiest physical ones. So, 41 years ago when I started medical school – our instructor got up there and said, if you try to diagnose stomach acid by history alone, you're going to lose. And when I say by history alone, normally doctors depend on asking you questions and hearing your answers to figure out what you got. I usually have it figured out before I lay my hands on your tummy. So stomach acid does not lend itself to that because it's called presents. It presents itself in so many different ways. So probably a third of the people actually have classic heartburn.
Mm-hmm.
That's only a third.
Mm-hmm.
Two-thirds of them have nothing. 20%, one out of five people with an ulcer have no symptoms at all.
Mm-hmm.
None. No symptoms at all. They'll suddenly start throwing up blood. But they've been stressed out for 6 months and they grow themselves an ulcer. So nighttime coughing, laying flat is always bringing out. People say in the morning, I'm wheezing, I'm coughing, I can't seem to get my breath. No heartburn, but that's reflux causing that.
Mm-hmm. And don't forget chest pains. That's the one.
Oh,
I
well,
do.
The most common, I worked in the ER 7 years. I mean, the most common reason for someone coming in with a chest pain is not a heart attack. It's stomach acid reflux.
Right.
And, there's a mechanical or physical reason for that. So the pain nerve for the distal, the lower third of the esophagus, the pain nerve for that part of your esophagus and the pain nerve for the heart go into the spinal cord at C4.
Mm-hmm.
And they're right next to each other. So I've had patients who've had a heart attack and reflux, and they said they couldn't tell the difference between the symptoms. So, and it's scary. People wake up in the middle of the night and think, this is it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going.
This
I'm
is
going.
The big one,
yeah.
Elizabeth.
I can hear the angels. You know?
Yes.
And really, they used to roll in the ER at 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's a classic thing, which all the doctors know what it is, but we give them what's called a GI cocktail, which is this soupy
lidocaine.
Well, antacid, lidocaine, the other stuff. And they drink it and you know, usually 90 seconds later, they're all the sweat's off their brow and they feel great.
You know, that's when you say, can I go home now?
Plus, yeah, they do that. And can I get a deal? Is it going to cost me very much money?
Exactly.
Yeah, because you have to do EKG, you have to do the cardiac enzymes. And anyway, so this happens every day in every ER in the United States of America. Every day. And then we still, of course, need to sort it out. And sometimes people are having a heart attack. In fact, sometimes, you know, Uncle Jimmy at Thanksgiving is the one that gives you your heart attack. So you can't try to be too smug about any of that stuff. But yeah, let me talk one more thing and then I'll explain why it all happens. So the other, stomach and digestive thing or bowel thing is irritable bowel, which 20% of adult Americans have at some time in their life. And that's, you know, sometimes you'll eat your meal in 30 minutes later, you see it in the toilet. That irritable bowel, fast transit time, cramping, that's all anxiety. And it's all mediated by this nerve, the 10th cranial nerve. It's the vagus nerve. And so the vagus nerve comes out of your brain and comes down, stuck on the esophagus. It's really cool when you see it in the chest. It looks like, well, the esophagus is a muscular tube, and it's in the chest, and it looks like someone laid a piano wire on it. And then you can see these little branches come off to the heart, come off to the diaphragm, and then it dives through your diaphragm and into your stomach, gives branches to the stomach, gives branches to the small and large intestine, gives branches to the bladder, adrenal glands. It controls the fight or flight response mm-hmm. in humans. And so that nerve is in charge of all of it, and that nerve is in charge of most of the physical or somatic responses to stress and anxiety.
Yes.
So, and it's just the way we're laid out.
I think it's important to understand that connection because people in my office have a tendency to separate that out and say, well, I'm depressed or anxious, and it has nothing to do really with my irritable bowel syndrome being nauseated a lot. Or
it's all connected.
It's all connected.
Yeah, it's all connected, and it kind of goes back to paleobiology where, you know, if you were out picking bananas all day and had a really nice, relaxing day and your family walks back to your cave and there's a saber-toothed tiger waiting there, you either ran like hell, fought like hell, or fainted.
Mm-hmm.
And the saber-toothed tiger ate the slowest runner.
And the one who fainted.
Well, no, the one who fainted usually lived because the tiger chases the moving ones.
Oh, yeah.
You're fainted. He thinks you're dead. He's going to come back and eat you at a later time.
That's right.
So fainting was a selective advantage. But that's all mediated by the vagus nerve.
Yes.
It's hardwired into us.
Well, and there's that whole thing in our brain where fight, flight, or freeze gets you into your amygdala. So now your brain is in this very specific way of dealing with
survivor,
and your body's doing the exact same thing, and it's working in harmony with each other to make you live.
Oh yeah, those guys on the beach at, you know, Omaha Beach, Saving Private Ryan, you know, they see someone get their leg shot off and everybody throws up, but they don't show everyone else that everyone had diarrhea too, but they don't show that on
the
movies.
Well, it's your body's way of getting you ready to run.
Exactly. You got to lighten up.
Yeah, exactly. Literally and figuratively.
Correct.
So what we've evolved to in society is that subtle anxiety, the subtle depression, the disappointment in your family and the fear of what's going to happen at the holidays, it isn't so huge that you're going to have to run from the saber-toothed tiger. It's slow and insidious enough that it destroys your peace of mind, destroys your gut, makes you can't sleep, and it all works in harmony with each other in the emotional and the physical.
Yeah, and if you have psoriasis, it gets worse. If you have rheumatoid arthritis, it gets worse. If you have lupus, it gets worse. I mean, it's cause and effect.
Yes. And it's important that everybody begin to see this. It's one of the reasons you and I do a really good job working clients together, because you're pushing them toward working on their emotional stuff, and I'm pushing them to see you for the physical stuff. And when they work that in harmony, you and I see people get well.
Sometimes.
I know. We love that when it happens.
Yeah, that's the goal.
We do. So that's what we're going for here. We want all of you to stop and take a look at how do you feel in December. What are you stressing about? What are you worrying about? What are your physical symptoms? So right now, break out a piece of paper and a pen, and write down what are your physical symptoms. So Richard, go through your checklist of what you would do in the office. If somebody comes in and says, I'm stressing out about the holidays, what are the things you're checking for? And let's have them write them on their list.
Well, my normal first question is sleep. So the sleep-deprived human is not a very functional human. So we
need, and they're more depressed and more anxious.
Yeah, they're all tied in like a, you know, incestuous little knot. So I ask them that. I ask them if they have heartburn or nausea or nighttime cough or wheezing. That's the reflux people and the stomach acid people. I ask them if they have fast transit time. That's, you know, diarrhea 30 minutes after you eat.
Mm-hmm.
And abdominal cramping. I don't feel good. You know, I ask them, you know, personal questions about their sex life, and because that goes away usually or doesn't work when you're stressed out or anxious.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes they'll have urinary frequency too, urinary urgency. Pretty much that darn vagus nerve sends branches to all those parts of our body. So when it's not happy, you know, people aren't happy.
And all their symptoms get worse.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the other thing I see people do is alcohol intake goes up. Sometimes you think it's just because of the parties and things like that, but that's not what I'm seeing. I see that glass of wine at dinner become two or three because they're trying to turn the volume down on their brain.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest forms of self-medication. You know, people were pounding mead before a big battle,
mm-hmm.
you know, back in the Roman days. So, yeah, it's not healthy for us, but a lot of folks do it.
Yeah, they use it as a coping mechanism.
Yeah.
So if your alcohol intake is going up and you find yourself coping with that more, that's a call to consciousness as well. What are you unhappy about? What's making you sad? What are you scared about?
Yeah, that's a pretty common situation.
Okay, so you're looking for the anxiety issues, the sleep issues. I would be looking for appetite as well. Are you eating more, eating less? And this is where I see people fool themselves. It's about the holidays. There's more sweets around. There's more parties. And it's not that one or two parties you go to or even four or five parties. That's 4 or 5 days out of the whole month. It's what you're doing the whole rest of the time to cope. So you're making a list of your physical symptoms, and we're going to go to break in a minute, but when we come back, we're going to make a list of the emotional symptoms too. So let's make sure we have all the physical ones. Sleep, heartburn, stomach upset, bowel issues, things you have getting worse.
Yeah, emotional. Well, maybe this is emotional, but I think it's physical. So easy to get sad, easy to get mad,
mm-hmm.
You know. People don't feel good, they'll just, you know, I can see it on their face because I've, you know, seen so many people.
Mm-hmm.
I can just tell when I walk in the door.
Yeah, you just don't feel right. You don't feel good.
The Latin name is anhedonia.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I don't feel good.
Yes.
And then I just start asking questions and usually can sort it out.
Yeah. Okay, I think that's perfect. All right, so let's go to break, and when we come back, we're going to go over some more emotional symptoms.
Aloha, this is Kevin, operations manager at Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. A professionally cleaned business sends a message to your paying customers. It says you are a company that cares about your image and always presenting the very best impression. Time after time, I've talked to clients who shopped for the lowest price and after a few months realized that their professional image was suffering. They didn't know who was actually coming into their offices to do the cleaning, and they just weren't getting the value they were paying for. Be wary of big-name companies that take your money, then hire unknown contractors to do the work. Since 1987, Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, your local professionals, have been offering the best in office cleaning by our screened, bonded, and insured staff. Take pride in your business and say aloha to your customers with the professional cleaning services from Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. Call 221-5868, 221-5868, MauiBob'sOfficeCleaning.com.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvy with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
From the Pacific Justice Institute, this is The Legal Edge with Brad Dacus.
The Department of Health and Human Services proposed a new rule that would lift restrictions on grants for faith-based adoption agencies that do not affirm same-sex marriage. This proposed rule is clearly in the best interest for children and upholds religious freedom.
Stay informed on religious freedoms. Receive our weekly email newsletter, The Legal Insider, at pji.org.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patty, Dr. Patricia Bate, and my guest is Dr. Richard Malotke, who has been a medical physician for 34 years and has an incredible general practice where he helps so many people. I just love his work. We are talking about the physical and emotional challenges of the holidays. So in the last section, we went over some of the physical things that Dr. Malotke sees in his practice every single year. And I want to talk about some of the emotional things that happen with the holidays. And I know, Richard, you see these too in your office. One of the biggest things that I think trigger people into anxiety and depression and feeling overwhelmed and all of that at the holidays is this kind of disappointment with their family of origin. And this can be subtle. Like, you may have a family, you go, oh, yeah, we're good, we're close, but there's that one or two family members that always creates some stress or drinks too much or has to make the nasty comment and has to talk about, oh, you know, aren't you ever going to get married and when are you going to have kids and, you know, I'm surprised you didn't go to college and those kind of little comments that make people just dread the conversation.
The fingernails on the blackboard.
Yes, fingernails on the blackboard. And so they get those all blown out of proportion for that one dinner or that one afternoon and they are tweaked about it for weeks before it even happens. But there's sometimes a little even more than that, and it's subtle. And this is a call to consciousness. Like, let me give you an example. Some people are just quietly disappointed that their mom wasn't the mom that they wanted. They wished she could have been more something, more nurturing, more caring, show up more. And they're just subtly disappointed that their mom was a problem or a drug addict or, you know, an alcoholic or something like that. And so at the holidays, think of all the triggers that show you that you didn't have that parent that you wanted. All the commercials on TV showing the lovely families gathered around the Christmas tree and the lovely dinners. And it makes people feel sad. And so they're disappointed. And that disappointment, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to look resentful or angry or nasty. And so they tend to shove it under. And where do they shove it, Dr. Malotke?
They shove it under their vagus nerve.
They do.
Yeah, in fact, sometimes I try to explain it like this, and this helps some people, but so our brain is like a big house, and there's a bunch of rooms in it, and there's a kitchen, there's a bathroom, there's a bedroom, hopefully more than one. We got a living room, but we all of us have an attic, and we have an attic that
store stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of like, well, it's everyone's heard this word subconscious. So mm-hmm. Our attic is our subconscious, and what we do with our subconscious to protect ourselves and keep our heart okay. When bad things happen to us, we drag them up in the attic and cover them up with 3-wool blankets and unscrew the light bulb so you can't turn the light on, and then you never have to look at that thing ever again.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's like, you know, the telltale heart. That sucker is beating up there, and even if you can't see it, you can hear it every damn day. Pardon my French. And I know I'm not supposed to say
you
that.
You can get beeped.
Okay, I'm on the radio. But so our body puts those nasty, horrible things, and some of them are really horrible, and it puts them up in the attic. And ideally, you know, what Patty can help you with, and I'm not as good at or as very good at it at all, I don't think, but what you can help out with therapy is you force yourself to go up in the attic, pull those wool blankets off, screw that light bulb in, look at that thing from every angle, and then throw it out the dormer window.
Yeah, we want to clean out the attic.
Yes.
And what I tell people is, okay, if there's stuff that you look at but you can't get rid of, you can relegate it to the back where you are more conscious that you're pulling that out to take a look at it. When it is unconscious, it is kicking your butt in
Absolutely.
Terms of how you function.
Yeah, even if you just put it a corner in the living room and you sort of sidelong glance at it every time you walk in the door of your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's better than putting it in the attic.
Yes. And so cleaning out the attic of that old stored stuff is really important. But here we go into December again, where people's attic door creeps open and the boogeyman come out. We're going to go with this analogy, which really works. So then the boogeyman's walking all around your house going, Aunt Martha's coming next week, or, you know, you're going to be disappointed in your mom once again this year. It really upsets you. And so from a physical standpoint, it triggers all these physical ailments you're talking about. From an emotional standpoint, there's the depression, the anxiety, there's feeling overwhelmed. And then I want you to think of something. When your mom is somebody that's a disappointment, or your dad, or somebody close to you is a real challenge in your family, how good do you feel about buying them a present? There's the financial stress of that, too, and the overwhelmed part. So all of this stuff turns around in your brain, turns around in your gut, makes you not sleep, creates havoc, and you just can't wait until December's over.
And you come and ask me for drugs.
Exactly. You go to Dr. Wallachy and say, I need Xanax. And he's going, all right, now we need to talk about this.
Well, and sometimes that's all, you know, for a quick fix and a temporary relief, and especially for grief reactions, you know, if someone just died in your family, gosh, I write for that all the time. But, you know, long-term, it's not the answer. And in fact, long-term, you know, I don't think any of those medications are the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Long-term, you have to try to get that attic cleared out. And
yes.
And it's new depending on how nasty that stuff is that you've got stored up there.
Well, and I see so many people that have learned to rely on benzodiazepines, you know, the
right.
Xanax and the clonazepam and the Ativan and all the
Valley of the Dolls, the original
Valium. Valium? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
and it's so what they learn to do is suppress those feelings. But you have to remember, everybody that relies on those kind of medications, they alter your brain functioning, and they are addictive. And you're not really cleaning out your attic. You're trying to seal the attic door and shut it up.
Exactly.
And so it still goes in to wreck your stomach acid and make you have physical symptoms. So some people that have fibromyalgia or lupus or psoriasis or stomach acid issues, what you've got is a really full attic that's leaking.
Yeah, and there are some really people, because, you know, I think it's a good, especially the young people, they're coming and saying, hey, is there a way I can help myself without taking pills? And yes, and there's 5,000-year-old proven techniques to help you with all that stuff. And, you know, since I already talked about the vagus nerve real quick, I just want to talk about this thing called slow breathe, deep breathe meditation.
Yes. In fact, I want you to save that for the fourth section.
Oh, okay.
Because on the fourth section, we're going to give you some really cool coping tools.
To
deal with the anxiety and the depression, deal with the physical ailments, and maybe be ahead of the curve this time, so you don't have to go in and pay Dr. Malachi or Dr. Bay the big bucks. You can do it on your own at home, which is what we want you to do. We want
exactly.
you to work on this stuff.
I got plenty of work as it is.
Yeah, me too. So let's make sure we're looking at all the emotional symptoms that you might feel. There's overwhelmed, depressed, anxious, emotionally labile, which is what Dr. Malachi was talking
really
about
sad,
before.
Yeah, really sad, easy to get mad.
Yeah, irritable.
Yeah.
And it affects your sleep. It affects your alcohol intake, or you're trying to seek out something to calm your brain down, like pills of some sort.
And another little hint for you, your anhedonia, the patient will say, boy, my buddies came to pick me up to go fishing on Saturday, and I didn't feel like going.
Right.
I quit playing on the church softball team. I don't feel like going. I don't want to play poker with my buddies once a month on poker night. And those are all little signs that your attic's leaking.
Right. And it's that sludging through mud feeling that is just everything feels like an effort and overwhelming and too much to do. So these are what a lot of people feel during the holidays. Now, and I just want to clarify this. It's not everybody. So you'll hear people that go, I just love Christmas. I can't wait to decorate my house. Oh, my gosh, I just love this. And you're kind of going, uh-huh. The people that don't really like it are struggling through it tend to stay silent is what I've noticed. When Rich was sick and he had a brain disease and he died, there was a time that I found this little air freshener Christmas tree, air freshener that you put in the car. And I wanted to stick it on the wall, and that was going to be Christmas decorations because everything else was massively overwhelming.
Yeah.
And it was, you know, that's how you feel when somebody is your caregiver. I mean, caregivers don't get holidays.
Nope.
So when you are struggling, first off, know that you are not alone. There's a lot of people out there that are, it's not that they're bah humbug about Christmas. It's that they are sludging through the mud to make it through the holidays. Whatever religious orientation you have or whatever holiday you celebrate, it doesn't matter. It's a time of family and food and coming together. And sometimes that is really, really stressful.
Yep.
So we're going to go to break. And when we come back, we're going to give you some very specific coping skills for physical and emotional. And Dr. Malott is going to take you through a really cool breathing exercise. All right, so get your pen and pencil because you're going to want to write down some coping skills. We'll be back in a minute.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and, of course, on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
The holiday season is here, so why not give the gift that keeps giving? Perhaps a social membership or golf lessons. Riverview Golf and Country Club has been providing home away from home entertainment. Find out how you can become a member today. Go to riverviewgolf.net. That's riverviewgolf.net.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
Did you know that the City of Reading has started licensing commercial cannabis activities within the city limits? Synergy is the first of the city's approved retailers to obtain licensure, bringing to the Reading area the most experienced retailer in the North State. They will ensure that your visit is both professional and comfortable. Access is simple and discreet. Synergy has a private 25-space parking lot at the back of the building. Synergy is located at 345 Hempstead Drive, Reading.
That's awesome.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. That's Richard listening to me play didgeridoo.
Cool.
They're just so cool. It just vibrates in your whole chest. I just love it. So
makes me want to get an Australian accent.
Yeah. Oh, hey, mate, we could talk Australian.
I don't think I can do it, but I can put a shrimp on the Barbie.
Okay, good. We're set then. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and we have Dr. Richard Malocki, and we are talking about the physical and emotional challenges of the holidays. So I'm going to go over just a few emotional coping skills with you, and then we're going to let Dr. Malocki take it with the physical things we want you to try and prevent. My experience with the emotional issues is that if you treat your physical symptoms well and you get some good sleep and you recognize that you're stressing, you will do better emotionally. The other thing that really, really works for emotions is know that in January you will be much better. just kind of
true story.
Buckle your seatbelt, and you can ride it through till then. But what I want you to do is look at what do you have stored in your attic, to use the metaphor that we've been using today. What's in your attic? What do you pull out just at this time of year to be disappointed or sad or stressed? And just see if you can list those things and know that it's going to end in January. And try not to jump on that horse and ride it, okay? You've got a horse that's called anxiety or disappointment or whatever, and you just don't want to jump on it and ride it all over the place. Just notice that it's there and try and let it go in and out, okay? So be aware of your emotions and just try and look at why. So, Dr. Malachi, talk to us about the physical things we've been discussing this whole show and what people can do to prevent some of those things. Be very specific so they could actually write them down.
Okay, so, hey, so the stomach acid thing is probably the most common physical manifestation of stress. And what will happen is patients will come in and they'll just describe either the nausea or just don't want to eat, anorexia, or they'll actually have classic heartburn, which is much easier, or they'll have the nighttime reflux symptoms, morning cough, mucusy, that's gross stuff. But so when they have that, what I ask them is, what have you tried? And so if you've tried Tums and it works, well, great. Tums will work, and it helps give us a hint. Tums doesn't work on gallbladder disease. So if Tums works or antacids work, that helps give me a hint that we are talking about stomach acid etiology, which is the cause of your problem. If you're taking Tums more than 3 times a week, you need to do something more. You're incompletely treating your problem. So if it's more than 3 times a week, I always like to have people try the over-the-counter medicines first. The original stomach acid blockers are called histamine 2 blockers, and those are Tagamet and Pepcid AC and all that kind of stuff. And try them. You don't have to see a doctor. There's no doctor visit. And if they help you and it's temporary and you only need them during December and then January 1st comes and you're fine, you don't have to come and see me. If those don't work, you might need to have a stronger medicine. The stronger medicines are the proton pump inhibitors like Nexium or Prilosec. Now, generic Prilosec is available over the counter. It's called omeprazole. Mm-hmm. And you can try that too. I don't have any objection to having you try it if it's a short-term thing. What you don't want to do is take omeprazole on and off for months, because it won't completely heal an ulcer. It won't completely heal Barrett's esophagus, which is, both of those, an unhealed ulcer for 30 years and an unhealed esophagitis for 30 years buys you esophageal cancer or stomach cancer. No one gets stomach cancer without having an unhealed ulcer for 25 or 30 years. And I've seen it before, and I've buried them. So don't do that. Sometimes you have to come and see the doctor. And we can help you on all that stuff. The bowel thing, the irritable bowel thing, usually you may identify food triggers. That's, where if I eat this, I have to run to the bathroom 30 minutes later. Well, don't eat this.
Randy's rule. Just stop. Don't
right.
do that.
Yeah, that's how, I spent all those years in school. So, the other physical symptoms of anxiety, easy to get sad, easy to get mad, I consider those to be physical symptoms. One of the things that you can do, and I would like to talk about it real quick because I did talk about the vagus nerve, which carries all our fight or flight nerve impulses from the brain. One thing that you can do is you can try this, and it's a little experiment. It only takes 5 minutes every night. So 5 minutes every night when you lay down in bed, close your eyes, and I want you to try to breathe 3 breaths a minute. So inhale for 10 seconds, exhale for 10 seconds. Inhale for 10 seconds, exhale for 10 seconds. That's 3 breaths a minute. So you're going to do it for 5 minutes. It's going to be 15 breaths with your eyes closed. And ideally, not a lot of noise or distractions or, kids tugging on your leg. And if you do that every night, what it forces you to do is slow down your mind. It forces your mind to slow down, and what it's mechanically doing is it's, believe it or not, it's massaging your vagus nerve. So the esophagus goes through the diaphragm. When you exhale, the diaphragm is bell-shaped. When you inhale, the diaphragm flattens out. and it can about 6 inches of excursion in an adult male, 4 inches in a woman. So the diaphragm, which is a thin sheet of muscle, it's actually massaging your vagus nerve.
Calming it down.
Yeah, when you do slow breathe, deep breathe. So they've been doing it for 5,000 years in India, and those people have some things together.
Wonderful. Yeah. Now, when I have taught people how to meditate, and I have them like inhale for 8 and exhale for 8, people that aren't used to that have trouble.
So they'll think they get lightheaded.
Yeah,
or
it's okay to work yourself up to it.
Yeah, yeah. So
start with 4, go to 6.
Yeah,
go to 8,
you can
go to 10.
You can do inhale for 5, exhale for 5. But your goal is to get to 3 breaths per minute. You won't pass out. Don't be scared.
You're laying down in bed. You'll be
fine. You'll be fine. And it does a lot of neurobiologic things for you too. So it changes your brainwave pattern. Like Patty and I right now are in a beta. It's called beta. Or, you know. Mm-hmm. Greek letters. Anyway, beta, brainwave pattern. But after you do that for as little as 5 minutes, or for me, after I do it for about 30 seconds, my brainwave pattern goes into an alpha brainwave pattern, which is just a beautiful little thing on the oscilloscope. It's a nice, gentle sine wave. It just looks really...
It looks like calm.
Oh, it totally looks like calm. And you know, that's how it works. And it's free, and it doesn't make you addicted.
Well, and here's what I like, too. So many people say to me, I can't shut my head up to meditate. They have busy brain syndrome. Go back to my other podcast called Busy Brain Syndrome. And they can't shut their head up. So this is a way that you don't have to say, I'm meditating or I'm not meditating.
No,
you're just focusing
breathing.
On your breath, and you're doing it to massage that nerve.
Yeah, we got to all breathe anyway.
Yeah.
Why don't you do it better?
Well, and let's do it so that we can touch that nerve to calm that nerve down, because that's the nerve that's creating the stomach upset and the acid reflux and the bowel problems and the bladder urgency and the headache.
Everything.
So what else can you do that massages that nerve? I don't know of anything else. Do you?
No.
So there's something free and easy, and it works, and nobody's going to tell you you're doing it wrong.
And if you need a little help, just go to a yoga class, because basically it's yoga breathing.
Yeah.
So.
But you don't even have to tell yourself that you can quiet your brain or not.
Just the very fact
that you're doing it and focusing on that breath is going to help quiet that busy brain syndrome.
And one really quick note. So it won't work, like in quotation marks, it won't work the first night you do it. So when I started doing this when I was 21, which is god-awful time ago.
And, when you lived in India, right?
Well, yeah, 40 years ago, when I was in India, I had a meditation lesson. And the only thing they taught me was slow breathe, deep breathe. And that was all they needed to teach me. Because after about 2 months of doing that...
You were better.
Oh, I was so much better. Yeah, and I still have to... Well, I have to walk in an exam room about once a month and tell someone they're going to die. And I don't like that part of my job. But if I sit in my office for 5 minutes and do my little breathing, then I can do it. Otherwise, I'm a chocolate mass.
Mm-hmm. You have a big heart.
Well, I got one, I think. It's in there somewhere.
It's in there somewhere. Well, so here's the idea, folks. Recognize that there are physical and emotional challenges that come with 6-8 weeks of stress. Okay, and so many people start into this pattern right after Halloween, and they go all the way to January. So they've got November and December of physical and emotional stress. And rather than be a basket case physically or emotionally and need to pay the big bucks to come see us, try doing some of these things. And it is what it is, and you're taking care of it, and you're doing the best you can. And when we recognize that there is a reason for all things that happen in our lives, whether it is that difficult parent or the disappointing family member or the person who abandoned you or doesn't love you anymore, whatever it is that you're dealing with, loss, grief, all this stuff, there's a reason for it. And that's really hard to say when stuff is hard, when you're sad, when you've lost someone.
Oh, yeah.
It's very hard. But if we kind of embrace that and say, okay, we're experiencing this for a reason, and I'm going to bring my best self to it, and I also know it's going to get a whole heck of a lot better in January, we do better.
Yeah.
So what we're hoping is that today, when we've given you some coping skills, we've made you feel a little bit normal, that many, many people go through these emotional and physical upsets at this time of year, and that not everybody looks forward to this time, and that's okay. You get to be who you are, and there's help.
Yep.
So anything you want to leave them with, Dr. Malatke?
No, I would just say the only other thing I would say is maybe just give yourself a little grace.
Yeah.
Sometimes we can't do that, or we won't do that, or we just feel like, especially men, we feel like, you know, cowboy up, going, get tough, tough, get going. No, give yourself a little grace. You're worth it.
Yeah, I think that's a very good piece of advice, because we often do not give ourselves grace. Sometimes we're not good at giving others grace.
Yeah, that's true.
Like Uncle Joe, who's, you know, drunk at the table, or Aunt Martha, who's difficult, or whatever. So just recognize that you will get through this time, and just love each other as best you can.
That's good advice.
So thank you for joining us for Therapy in a Nutshell today. And Dr. Malatke and I are going to go forward and try to heal the world one hour at a time.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.